All right, 2 Kings chapter 2. Look, if you would, starting at verse 8. 2 Kings chapter 2, verse 8. It says, and Elijah took his mantle and wrapped it together and smote the waters, and they were divided hither and thither, so that they too went over on dry ground. And it came to pass, when they were gone over, that Elijah said unto Elisha, ask what I shall do for thee before I be taken away from thee. And Elisha said, I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me. And he said, thou hast asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if thou see me when I am taken from thee, it shall be so unto thee, but if not, it shall not be so. Let's pray. Father, again, we thank you for your word tonight. We thank you for your Bible. I'm thankful, Lord, that we can read it and understand it. And I'm thankful you've given your Holy Spirit to teach us your word. And so tonight, Lord, I am asking again that you teach us your word, Lord. Help us to be students of the word of God. Help us to learn. Help us to grow, Lord, as we hear the preaching, as we study, Lord, as we read our Bibles. And Lord, help us always stay in close contact with you all the time, Lord, and draw closer to you every day. I pray tonight, Lord, again, if there's somebody here that's not saved, Lord, somebody who has not received Jesus Christ as their Savior, I pray that they'll do that tonight, that they'll not put it off. And I pray also, Lord, that as Christians, Lord, I pray you'll speak to us tonight and to show us, Lord, the places in our lives where we need work. And Lord, to help us to just to be doers of the Word of God, not hearers only, and take care of whatever it may be, Lord, that may be breaking fellowship with you tonight, if there be anything. Lord, again, I pray to just bless the service tonight, Lord. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Question. If you knew that God would give you anything that you wanted, what would you ask for? You live in a society where a lot of people would ask for things that would probably surprise you. But would you ask for wealth? Many people would. Would you ask for influence? Would you ask for health? What would you ask for? That's a tough question. If you could ask for anything. Remember, when Solomon was asked, he asked for wisdom. Amen? And he received that. Well, here Elisha had the opportunity to ask for anything. And Elisha said, I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me. Now, when you read your Bible, you know that Elijah was a prophet of God, and he had the power of God upon him. And all the miracles that Elijah did, he did because the power of God was upon him. And he had the Spirit of God upon him. And so when it was time for Elijah to leave, Elisha, when he could have asked for anything, he asked for a double portion of Elijah's spirit to be upon him. He prayed for God's spirit and God's power. I think today that we're living in a time where there are many powerless Christians. Christians who they believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ. And Christians, they're going to go to heaven, but they just don't have the power of God upon them. In other words, when they should be out taking a stand against wickedness and evil, they don't have that power of God upon them, so they'll do it. They don't have the power of God upon them so that they'll boldly witness to others. And so today I think there are many Christians who don't have the power of God. But, as Christians, we should all want that. To tell you the truth, that wouldn't be a bad thing to ask for, would it? If you could ask for anything tonight, to ask for God's power to be upon you, can you imagine what you could do? Can you imagine? I'm not talking about doing miracles, but I'm talking about going out there and boldly witnessing to people, going out there and boldly taking a stand against wickedness, boldly teaching people the truth. And when you see a Christian that's not living right, to walk up there and in a gentle way show him that he ought not be doing what he's doing. People that are willing to take a stand. That's what we need today. That's the type of Christian that we need today. We don't have that. And most Christians today, like this morning, for Sunday school, I asked you on Matthew chapter 7, verse 1, judge not to be not judged. There are a lot of Christians who live by that. Now, I'm not going to give you the answer tonight. I'm not going to do that. But there are a lot of Christians who live by that, but they look at it as saying, we ought not take a stand. Well, that's not what your Bible says at all. And everybody who ever had the Holy Spirit of God upon them, to the point where they had God's power upon them, they always went out boldly preaching the gospel. They always went out boldly and telling people, yea, hath God said. That's what Elijah did. I mean, Elijah, whenever you see him in the Bible, every time I see him, I just think of it, just an old, crusty, rickety old man that walks up there, and when people see him, they're kind of nervous. Every time you see Ahab seeing Elijah, I mean, Ahab is ready to run. I mean, he's like, he's saying, there comes that old man again. What's he got? What did I do wrong now? You know? And so that's the type of person Elijah seemed to be. But you know, he had the power of God upon him. Elijah, would you agree that when you read about Elijah, except for maybe when he got up on that mountain and he was kind of scared about what Jezebel was going to do to him, except for that time, would you agree that Elijah was a pretty bold character in the Bible? Well, absolutely, because he had the power of God upon him. He had the Spirit of God upon him. Now, the background to this story is that it had come time for Elijah to go home to the Lord. Elijah, if you'll remember, was one of two men in the Bible to have never died. Enoch, back in the book of Genesis, was the first. He was taken, and the Bible says he did not see death. And then Elijah here, he was the second, and he was taken up in a whirlwind. Now, just as a little side note, something just a side teaching, you know, that Bible says it's appointed unto men once to die and then cometh the judgment, right? Well, that is a general statement. General. That means generally that's true. But Enoch didn't die. And Elijah was taken up. And if the rapture happens, you won't die either. How many of you understand that? You'll just be changed in the twinkling of an eye. But so when it says it's appointed unto men once to die and then cometh the judgment, that's a general statement. In other words, it's saying that unless the rapture happens, that's exactly what's going to happen to everybody in this room. You will die, and you will see the judgment. And so Enoch was one who did not die in the Bible. Elijah was a second. And I pray that all of us in here will be those people that will go up in the rapture before our death comes. Amen? I pray that. But we're not guaranteed of that. But just before Elijah is taken away, Elisha says, I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me. That is, I want the same power that's in your ministry to be in my ministry. And I want the same power that's in your life to be in my life. Only I want a double portion. That was the thing he asked for. He wanted the power of God's life, the power of God in his life, but he didn't want just a little bit. He wanted a lot. He wanted twice as much power as what he had given Elijah. Now, I want you to notice here tonight some steps in Elijah's quest for that double portion of power. Some things that, an attitude that he had that resulted in him actually getting that power. And he did. Now, you continue to read in your Bible, you'll find out that he did get the double portion just as he had wanted. The thing he asked for, he received. But there was a reason why that happened. And one of the things I want you to see is Elisha had great determination to get that power. He wanted it. He was very determined to have it. Look, if you would, back at verse 1 here in 2 Kings chapter 2. And notice it says, back in verse 1, it says, and it came to pass when the Lord would take up Elijah into heaven by a whirlwind, that Elijah went with Elisha from Gilgal. And Elijah said unto Elisha, tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord hath sent me to Bethel. And Elisha said unto him, as the Lord liveth, as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. So they went down to Bethel. And the sons of the prophets that were at Bethel came forth to Elisha and said unto him, knowest thou that the Lord will take away thy master from thy head today? And he said, yea, I know it. Hold ye your peace. And Elijah said unto him, Elisha, tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord has sent me to Jericho. And he said, as the Lord liveth, thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. So they came to Jericho. And the sons of the prophets that were at Jericho came to Elisha and said unto him, knowest thou that the Lord will take away thy master from thy head today? And he answered, yea, I know it. Hold ye your peace. And Elijah said unto him, tarry, I pray thee here, for the Lord has sent me to Jordan. And he said, as the Lord liveth, as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. And they too went on. And 50 men of the sons of the prophets went and stood a view afar off, and they too stood by Jordan. Now here's an interesting thing here. Elisha was a disciple of Elijah, and it was Elijah who had cast his mantle upon Elisha, and Elisha followed Elijah and ministered unto him over and over. But now here's a strange thing. The strange thing is that his master, his leader, his discipler, Elisha's master and leader, Elijah, said, I want you to stop here, and I'm just going to go on. You know, would you stay here, and I'm just going to go. I want you to leave me alone. Just I'm going to go on, and you stay right here. But every time he did, you know what Elisha said? He said, no, I pray thee, I'm going to go with you. Every time that Elijah said, I want you to stay here, Elisha would have none of it. He said, it's not going to happen. I'm going to go on with you. He was a man who was motivated for a burning desire to be with his master. But even though he did that, there were some obstacles that Elisha was facing when seeking for the power of God. First of all, there was discouragement. In verse 2, you'll find that Elijah is discouraging Elisha from going on with him. In verse 4, you'll find Elisha again discouraging Elisha from discouraging him to try to keep him from going along with him. In verse 6, you'll find Elijah saying, tarry here, and discouraging him yet again. Now, why was Elijah discouraging him? Elijah really didn't mean to discourage him, but he was saying, you stay here. He keeps on saying, stay here. And even though he knows Elisha wants to go with him, he keeps on telling him, stay here. You say, why was that? Because Elijah was testing him to see if he would go further. He is saying, you stay here. And Elisha said, not going to happen. I'm going to go with you. Notice Elijah didn't argue with him, and they went on to the next place. And Elijah said, now you stay here, and I'm going to go on. He goes, nope, I'm going to go with you. He keeps on doing this. He keeps on testing him. You know, at any time, Elisha could have said, okay, I'll stay here, and you go on. But he didn't. He kept on staying with him. You know, Jesus would do that too. Sometimes Jesus would do things that to us it would seem like he's discouraging somebody on purpose. But that was never his intention. It was not Elijah's intention here to discourage Elisha by telling him to stay there. That wasn't his intention at all. He was trying to see if Elisha would actually follow him. And here, Jesus did the same thing. You remember that story over in Mark chapter 7 of the Syrophoenician woman? And she comes up to the Lord, and she's got a daughter that's got a devil, and she wants the Lord to cast that devil out of her daughter. And so she comes up to the Lord and tells the Lord about her daughter and how she needs his help. And here's what Jesus said to the Syrophoenician woman. Now, remember, she's coming to him for help. He says this in Mark chapter 7. He says, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. It is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it to dogs. Now, isn't that something to say? In other words, he is saying, I'm not going to give a miracle that was meant for these good, wonderful Jewish people and give it to you, a pagan dog. Now, that's what he was saying. And you say, well, wait a second. Let me ask you, how would you have felt if Jesus had looked at you and he said, Lord, I need a miracle. Lord, I really need a miracle. And he goes, you know what? My miracles are for the children of Israel. It's not for dogs. I'll bet you that most of us, well, I wouldn't say most of us, but many Christians today would get up and walk out. Do you think that Jesus was trying to discourage that woman? No, he wasn't. He was testing her. He said, I don't give these miracles to dogs. This is for the children of the kingdom. This is for the children of Israel. Now, at that point, she could have been like a lot of Christians would be today, and she goes, fine, and just walk out. Tells me she really didn't need his help then, right? He was testing her. So you know what she says? Well, if you continue to read over in Mark chapter 7, she says this. She says, truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table. You know what she just said? She goes, you know what? You are my master, and whatever you plan to get me is fine with me. It'll be enough. And then it was Jesus that said, when she said that, he said, O woman, great is thy faith. Great is thy faith, be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. This morning we were talking about how Jesus got on the ship and they went across the Sea of Galilee and a storm came up. And it was God who allowed the storm. Why did he allow it? To test her faith. Well, they didn't do very well. They said, Lord, we're going to die. And what did he say? After he calmed the storm, he says, why do you have no faith? It shows you right there, he allowed it to happen for them to test them. Well, here with the Syrophoenician woman, the Lord's doing the same thing. He says, why should I give it to dogs? And she says, yes, but even the dogs will take some of the crumbs that fall from the master's table. And what did the Lord say? Great is thy faith. You see, the Lord didn't say that to discourage the woman. He said to test the woman. And so Elijah over here, here's Elisha walking with him, and Elijah says, okay, we're going to go to Bethel. And he says, now you stay here, I'm going to go to Bethel. And Elisha says, no, I'm going to go with you. Okay, Elijah says, that's fine. So they keep on walking. Then he says, okay, now stop here, I'm going to go on to Jordan. You stay here. Listen, Elisha, he knew that he wanted the double portion of power. He wanted the double portion of power. He wanted God's power upon his life. In other words, the power that was that Elijah had on his life, Elisha wanted that power, but he wanted a double portion. And there was no way that he was going to let Elijah keep on walking away from him. He goes, no, I'm going to stick with you. And Elijah says, oh yeah, you think you're going to stick with me? We'll see. I'll go to here, you stay here. And Elisha says, nope, I'm going to keep on going with you. And he did. He followed him everywhere he went. Why? Because he was determined to have the power. He wanted the power. He wanted the double portion. And he was not going to take no for an answer. And so there was. So even though he was discouraged, he would not back down. And so the next thing you see in verse 6, 2 Kings 2:6, it says, Elijah said to him, tarry, I pray thee here, for the Lord hath sent me to Jordan. And he said, as the Lord liveth, as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. And they too went on. Now, here it seems like Elijah was trying to get rid of Elisha, but he wasn't. Like I said, he was testing him. And you know, sometimes it might seem that God is far from you. It might seem that God is discouraging you. It might seem that God is not answering your prayer. But the question is, are you willing to press on? Are you willing to keep on going? Even though you might get discouraged, even though things may not be turning out the way you want it to turn out, are you willing just to keep on keeping on? I'll tell you this, there are a lot of Christians today that are fair weather Christians. In other words, they'll serve the Lord until things start to get rough and they fall by the wayside. Listen, a Christian today says, listen, I want the power of God. Well, then keep on pressing on then. Don't give up the first time that the waves start to get tough or when things start to go wrong. Don't give up. Keep on going. Sometimes the Lord says, you want my power? I mean, you really want the power of God upon you? Sometimes he'll allow storms to come in your life to see how you react. And if you bail, guess what? You probably didn't really want the power of God anyway. But Elisha said, I'm not going to stop. Elisha's saying, Elijah, you could walk all over the planet and I'm going to be right there with you. Why? Because I want double portion of what you have. And that's the way we need to be. We need to be that way. If we want the power of God, we got to be willing to do what God tells us to do and hang in there. And so Elisha, when seeking the power of God, he faced the first obstacle, and that was discouragement. But not only that, he also faced some other difficulties. Notice in verses 1, 2, 3, 4, notice the places that they traveled. You'll see there they traveled. Gilgal is mentioned in verse 1, I think. Bethel is mentioned. Jericho is mentioned. You say, boy, those places seem kind of familiar. They should. Because when you're reading the Bible and you see a place like Gilgal and Bethel and Jericho, those were all places that God had once blessed Israel in a mighty way, in all three of those places. But now those places were influenced by pagan idolatry. And so Elijah is allowing, as he's walking through there, he knows Elisha's with him. He knows Elisha is not going to leave him. And as they start walking to each one of these places and they come up to Gilgal, and he knows that God blessed Israel at Gilgal in a mighty way, but yet now there's pagan idolatry everywhere and he sees it. And then they go to the next place. They go to Bethel. I mean, Bethel was there. Remember Jacob, when he was the one that built the altar there at Bethel. Greatly blessed. But then when they get there, now there's pagan influence there. And then Jericho, that was the very first place that Israel, the very first victory they got when they came into the Promised Land, the first city they defeated was Jericho. But you have pagan influence there. And so when he sees all these things and this influence and this idolatry, this is the way that Elijah had led him, and he led him right there to show him these things and allow him to see all the difficulties and all the problems in these places. You say, what was God showing him? God was showing that he had better be determined and not be discouraged and not let discouragement stop him and not let difficulty stop him if he really wanted a double portion of God's power. I'm going to tell you something, folks. As Christians, you are going to see things in this world that is going to negatively affect you. You're going to see things, the devil will use things in this world to try to get you off course. How many of you know that you're tempted just about every day? Now, some of you may not realize that you're being tempted just about every day, but you are. Every time you see something on TV, every time that you watch, you see a billboard. One of the things, my mom actually called me today, and she was just up in the air. I was like, what's wrong, Mom? She goes, well, I was watching a football game last night, and she is a football fan, by the way. But she was watching a football game last night, and she goes, you would not believe this commercial I saw. It was so horrible. I was like, it was? She goes, yes. You want to know what it was about? And I was like, no. She goes, what? You don't want to know? I was like, no. I figure if it upsets you, then I don't want to hear it. And she was ready to give me details. I was like, I don't want to hear it at all. And she goes, how in the world could they show such a thing? I was like, hang on, it's going to get worse. The world's going to get worse. The Bible tells men are waxing worse and worse. And it's just the beginning of things. May I tell you, don't let that discourage you, folks. Don't let that discourage you. You just keep on pressing on. Keep on pressing on. You just follow the Lord. You just keep your eyes on the author and finisher of your faith. Don't worry about all these things going on. You know what? Elijah here, he tries to get him to stop. He won't stop. He just keeps on following because he's determined to get God's power. And then he leads him through these places where are filled with idolatry. And he lets him see these things. But you know what Elisha did? He just kept on following him. He just kept on, everywhere he went, he kept on following. He went to Gilgal, went to Jericho, went to Bethel. Wouldn't stop following. Why? He wanted God's power. He wanted God's power. He was not going to stop until he got that power. Yes, he was discouraged. He had difficulties. He was discouraged from it, but he would not stop. Not only that, but you'll notice what the prophet said to him. I tell you what, the devil really wants to get us off track. The devil does not want us to have the power of God. You realize that? Because if you got the power of God, you could turn this world upside down. If you got the power of God, people are going to start hearing gospel all over the place if you have the power of God upon you. I tell you this, if everybody in this church had the power of God upon them tonight, there is no end to what we could do in this town. No end. The devil does not want you to have the power of God. You know what he wants you to do? He wants you just to be just the average Christian today. You know, just the average Christian who just, go to church every now and then, take care of that. You know, read my Bible every now and then, maybe when I come to church, but I'm really not going to do more than that. That's your average Christian. The devil would just love for you to stay like that. Never witnessing to anybody, really never telling anybody about Jesus Christ, really never reading your Bible too much. You know, I mean, after all, you don't want to be a fanatic. That's the way the devil wants you to be. Just be the average Christian today, the average powerless Christian. You know what he'll do? He'll discourage you. He'll discourage you. There are things that'll happen. He'll allow it to discourage. He'll allow the world to tempt you. He'll do anything he can to get you tripped up to where you will not have the power of God. He'll even allow people to make fun of you. And that's exactly what Elisha faced here. Look at verse 3. It says, and the sons of the prophets that were at Bethel came forth to Elisha and said unto him, think about this. The sons of the prophets, if they see Elijah walking here, and they see Elisha right behind him, and everywhere Elijah goes, there's Elisha. Now, if they were to say something that they should have said, something that was, say, godly, they would probably say something like, amen, Elisha, I'm glad you're following Elijah. Elijah's a prophet of God, and you're following him, that's the way it should be. Amen, brother, stay in there. Just keep on following him. Now, that would have been a good thing to say. Amen? That's not what they said. Check out what they said. It says, and the sons of the prophets that were at Bethel came forth to Elisha and said unto him, knowest thou that the Lord will take away thy master from thy head today? And he said, yeah, I know it. Hold your peace. In other words, they're saying, you know, in a little while you're going to be by yourself and you're going to be helpless. You might as well just turn around and go back home. Look at verse 5. He goes to the next place and they're right there again to say the same thing. Verse 5, and the sons of the prophets that were at Jericho came to Elisha and said unto him, knowest thou the Lord will take away thy master from thy head today? And he answered, yea, I know it. Hold your peace. You know what they were doing? I don't know that they were really ridiculing him, but they certainly were not encouraging him. They were saying, you know what, in a little bit, things are going to get real rough. He's going to be gone. What are you going to do then? But you know what Elisha did? He says, yeah, I know it. But I'm just going to keep on following him. And he never stopped. Even though they were telling him, now listen, you know he's going to be gone in a little bit. He's like, yeah, shh, shh, I know. But he just kept on falling. Why? Because he wanted the power of God. He would not be deterred from that, from the power. And so Elisha, he was facing derision, ridicule. Yet Elisha, the man of God, went on. You know, some people have been laughed out of the work of the Lord. There are some people that used to serve the Lord, and if somebody made fun of them, they stopped doing it. There are probably somebody that used to, I tell you this, there have been times people pulled up and they see a little sticker on the back of my car that, you know, it says that, I think one of them says, for the wage of sin is death, and I have no one on the van that says, that it's appointed unto men once to die and then to judgment. There have been a lot of people that pulled up and said, you know what, you're some kind of fanatic? You know what I'm going to do? I'm just going to keep on leaving it on there. Why? Because somebody's going to read that thing, and the Word of God does not come back void. People can call you names. People can call you fanatic. People can call you Bible thumper. People can call you when you're one of those religious people. But you know what you ought to do? You realize that's not the Lord doing that. That's the devil doing that. He's trying to get you to stop. But you know what you need to do? You need to do the same thing that Elisha did. Say, whatever. And just keep on going. Just keep on going. Why? Because you want the power of God, right? You want the power of God upon you. Listen, you're not going to get the power of God if you quit. You're not going to give it to somebody who's going to quit. And I'll tell you this, the devil's going to try to ridicule you to get you to stop. He's going to try to discourage you to get you to stop. He's going to try to tempt you to get you to stop. Anything he can do to get you to not have power and just to make you sit down and be quiet, he will do anything he can to get you that way. But Elisha kept on following him. Why? He wanted a double portion. He wanted a double portion of power. And he was not going to stop. Here was a man who wanted the power, and he had a determination for it. Even though he was discouraged and he faced difficulty and derision, he wouldn't stop. Let me ask you this. Do you have that determination for the power of God tonight? To be filled with the Spirit of God? You realize everybody in this room could be filled with the Spirit of God tonight? If you're saved, you can be filled with the Spirit of God. But are you willing to do what it takes to get filled with the Spirit of God? You say, what does it take to be filled? To yield to the Spirit of God himself and to say, I'm going to do what the Lord wants me to do. And when you get filled with the Holy Spirit of God, you read over in the book of Acts, when they were filled with the Holy Spirit of God, they went out and preached boldly. They had the power of God upon them. Elisha had determination to get that double portion of God's power, and he said, as my soul liveth, I will not leave thee nor forsake thee. All right, not only did Elisha have that great determination for God's power, he also had a spiritual identification. Look at verse 7. It says, and 50 men of the sons of the prophets went on and stood to view afar off, and they too stood by Jordan. Now, who is they too? Well, that's Elijah and Elisha. They too. Verse 8. And Elijah took his mantle and wrapped it together and smote the waters, and they were divided hither and thither, so that they too went over on dry ground. Verse 9, and it came to pass when they were gone over that Elijah said unto Elisha, ask what I shall do for thee before I be taken away from thee. And Elisha said, I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me. Notice they too stood by Jordan. They too went over on dry ground. Elisha identified himself with Elijah. He wanted to walk with Elijah. He wanted to be with Elijah. Now, some Christians think that holiness is a way to Christ. But you know what the greatest secret to living a holy life is, honestly? The secret is, it's not holiness. Holiness is not the way to Christ. Christ is the way to holiness. And that's what a lot of people don't get. A lot of Christians don't get that. And you say, well, what do you mean? Well, you know, sometimes we think that if we pray enough that we could get close to Jesus, if we'll pray enough. And some people think that if we can live pure enough, then we'll get close to Jesus, if we'll just live more pure lives. Or maybe we could study our Bible more thoroughly and learn our Bible. Maybe that would bring us close to Jesus. Or maybe if I get my life holy, that holiness would bring me into a relationship with Jesus Christ. But that's not the way it works at all. Listen, it's Jesus Christ who enables you to pray. You wouldn't be able to pray without Jesus Christ. You realize that? You would not be able to approach the throne of God, the throne of grace in a time of need if it were not for the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. It's Jesus Christ who enables you to study your Bible. You couldn't study your Bible without Jesus. It's Jesus Christ who allows you and enables you to live a pure life. How is that? Because it's the fruit of the Spirit that allows you to do those things. Don't think for a second you can live a pure life without the Holy Spirit of God within you. You're fooling yourself. You have to have the fruit of the Spirit within you to live a life pleasing to the Lord. You can't live any other way. So the key here is that holiness is Jesus Christ that will lead you to holiness, not holiness leads you to Jesus Christ. The problem is there are people today that even when it comes to salvation, they think that holiness leads them to the Lord. That's not it at all. You can't work your way into heaven. It's not holiness that's going to lead you to the Lord. It's the Lord that's going to lead you to holiness. In other words, you've got to trust the Lord Jesus Christ, and then you can live a holy life. But I'm going to tell you right now, if you're trying to live a holy life without Jesus Christ here tonight, you're wasting your time. Why? You'll never live holy life. How do I know that? Because one of these days, if you've never received Jesus Christ, you're going to stand before the Lord, and the Lord's going to look at your holiness and your righteousness, and it's going to be as filthy rags. But the righteousness of Christ is perfect, and you must be in Christ. You see, Christ is the thing that leads to holiness. You receive Jesus Christ, then you're capable of living holy lives if you'll yield to the Holy Spirit of God within you. And that's the ticket. That's how it works. But a lot of Christians today, they have that all messed up. The key is that just as Elijah was identified with Elijah, we must be identified with the Lord Jesus Christ. That is, if you want his power. Now, the third thing I want you to notice tonight, not only Elisha's great determination, he was determined to have the power of God upon him. And not only was Elisha, he had a spiritual identification, he was identified with his master, Elijah. But I also want you to notice here that Elisha sought God's power by prayer. In other words, the power of God is associated with prayer every single time in your Bible. Notice you would in verse 9, it says, "And it came to pass when they were gone over that Elijah said unto Elisha, Ask what I shall do for thee before I be taken away from thee. And Elisha said, I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me." Now, when he's talking here, he's asking Elijah, he says, I pray thee. In other words, he's talking about prayer. Prayer and power are inseparable when it comes to the Scriptures. As you study the Bible, you'll find out that God gives us the fullness of the Spirit and double portion, and God gives us that in answer to prayer. In Luke chapter 11, verse 13, it shows us what the Lord Jesus Christ taught about all the fullness of the Spirit. It says this in Luke 11, 13. It says, "If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him?" You see, you can't get the Holy Spirit until you ask for it. You can't. You can't get the power of God until you ask for it. And so if you're determined to have a double portion of the power of God tonight, you say, what do I have to do? Well, you have to just ask for it. Let me ask you something. Do you think God wants you to have his power? Do you think God wants you to be full of the Holy Spirit? Do you think that he would deny you if you were to ask for it? Why is it so many Christians, they have no power if all you have to do is ask for it? Well, I don't know. Why is it today when somebody's given the gospel that all you have to do is believe that Jesus Christ died for your sins, was buried and rose again the third day, and call upon him for salvation? Is there anything hard about that? Does God want you to do that? How come people today, lost people, aren't breaking their necks to do that? Because something has got them turned away from it. And it's the devil. Turn, if you would, over to Acts chapter 4. Acts chapter 4. And again, we're going to see again that the power of God is linked to prayer. Acts chapter 4. Acts chapter 4. Acts chapter 4, look at verse 29. "And now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word." Now, he wants them to speak with boldness. That's power. By stretching forth thy hand to heal, that signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. You see that? They prayed first, and after they prayed, they were filled with the Holy Spirit, and they went out and spoke to God with boldness. That's the power of God. They prayed, and they got it. How do you get the power of God? By simply asking for it. You know what Elijah just said? He says, ask for anything, and I'll give it to you. And Elisha says, okay, fine. You said ask for anything? Okay, I'm asking. Give me a double portion. But I tell you tonight that when it comes to getting the power of God, all you have to do is ask for it. And if you don't have the power of God tonight, I want you to ask yourself, why don't you have it? Have you gotten discouraged? Has somebody made you mad? Have you been tempted by the world? Or have you decided just not to ask for it? Every Christian in here should have the power of God upon him. Every Christian in here should have the boldness upon him. And listen, I understand people get nervous. I understand about that. But if you want that boldness, all you have to do is ask for it. Now, I'm going to tell you something, folks. You've heard me give this illustration 1,000 times, so I'll give it 1,001. The first time I ever preached, I was the biggest chicken you ever saw in your life. I remember looking up out there past that pulpit, and I saw people, and I felt about this tall, and I wanted just to crawl underneath the pulpit and never come back out again. Scared to death. You know what I did? I did exactly what this right here, exactly what Elisha did. I did exactly what they did in Acts chapter 4 that we just read. I bowed my head and said, Lord, I can't do this. I can't do this. I'm scared to death, Lord, and if you don't give me the power to do it, I'm not going to be able to do it. And after I prayed that prayer, I'm telling you, something come over me to when I look back up, I was like, and I let it rip. It wasn't my power. If it's my power, I'd climb underneath that pulpit. It was God's power. You need that power. If you're ever going to witness to people, if you're ever going to do anything for the Lord, you need that power. The problem is people today try to do it on their own power and they fail every single time. And you will too. We need Christians today that are willing to do what it takes to get the power of God. We need people today who will just get on their knees and pray and say, Lord, give me a double portion of that power. I want to go out and do something for you. That's what we need. That's what Elisha wanted. Elisha was determined he was going to get it one way or the other. He wasn't going to stop following him. And he prayed. So he had a determination. He was identified with Elijah. Not only that, but he sought God's power by prayer. And then finally, when the power of God came to Elisha, I want you to see what happened. Look at, if you would, in 2 Kings chapter 2, and look at verse 10. It says, and he said, thou hast asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if thou see me when I am taken from thee, it shall be so unto thee, but if not, it shall not be so. And it came to pass as they still went on and talked, that behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire, and parted them both asunder. And Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. And Elisha saw it, and he cried, my father, the chariot of Israel, and the horsemen thereof. And he saw him no more, and he took hold of his own clothes and rent them in two pieces. And he took also the mantle of Elijah that fell from him and went back and stood by the bank of Jordan. And he took the mantle of Elijah that fell from him and smote the waters and said, where is the Lord God of Elijah? And when he had also had smitten the waters, they parted hither and thither, and Elisha went over. Now it's pretty obvious here that he had the power that he had asked for. Because if he didn't, he could have never parted those waters. Remember, they parted to get across, and then Elijah's gone, and then he parts them to get back. So what he asked for, he got. He got the power. And notice that the power he got was related to the ascension of his master. It was related to the ascension of the master. In other words, he never got the power until Elijah went up. And after Elijah went up, It's then that he got the power. Now, turn if you would over to Luke chapter 24. Luke chapter 24. Luke chapter 24. And look at verse 49. Luke 24, 49. Jesus is talking and he says, "And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high." And he led them out as far as to Bethany, and he lifted up his hands and blessed them. And it came to pass, while he blessed them, he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. Now that seems pretty similar to what Elisha saw. But notice here that he said, "Stay here in Jerusalem until ye be endued with power." And then he blesses them, and then he ascends up to heaven, right? Now turn if you would over to John chapter 7. John chapter 7. Notice there in Luke chapter 24 now, the power never came until the Lord went up, until he ascended. In Luke chapter 7, it's going to tell you pretty much the same thing. Luke chapter 7, look at verse 37. It says, "In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of thy belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this he spake of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified." When did the Holy Spirit of God get sent down? When did the Comforter come? When Jesus went up. When did the church receive power on the day of Pentecost? After Jesus went up. They stayed where they were supposed to. He went up, the Comforter come down, and guess what? They received power. That power came because Jesus went up and he sent us the Holy Spirit. Don't you understand that the power of God comes from the Holy Spirit of God? And the reason you got that is because Jesus went up. And when he went up, he gave you the Comforter, he gave you his power, so you can go out and do what he was doing when he was here. What was Jesus doing? He was going out and telling people how to be saved. He was going out and telling people how to become sons of God. He was going out preaching the kingdom of God. He was preaching these things. And then he says, "Okay, I'm going to go up and I've got work for you to do. But don't worry about doing it in your own power. You wait, because when I leave, the Comforter is going to come and you're going to have my power to go out and do what I told you to do." May I tell you that the Lord did not leave us here without his power. Why would he do that? He wouldn't. He was the Son of God. He ran out and preached with power. He did all these different miracles. He did all these different things because he was the Son of God. And when he left, he gave us his power to go out and do the very thing he told us to do. If you're out there and you're trying to serve the Lord without his power, why did he ever give you the power to begin with? You got to use his power. That's the reason he ascended. He went up. Now listen, he's given you his power. He's given you the Holy Spirit of God. He's given you the fruit of the Spirit. Oh, and he placed that Holy Spirit within you. May I tell you that one of these days when you stand at the judgment seat, you are going to have no excuse whatsoever. When he says, "What did you do for me?" And you say, "Well, not much." "Well, why is that?" "Well, I kept on failing. You had my power." "Well, I just didn't have the love it takes." "Well, you had the love that was put inside you with the Holy Spirit of God." "Well, I just didn't have patience with people." "Yeah, that's part of the fruits too." "Yes, you did. You had that too." "Well, I just felt nervous." "You had the Holy Spirit of God that gives you boldness. How come you didn't use it? How come you didn't have my power? How come you went out there in your own power and fail?" We're going to have no excuses on Judgment Day. God's given us everything to do the work that he told us to do, even his own power. And I'm not just talking about a little bit of power. I'm talking about a lot. Amen. A lot of power. Elisha would not stop until he got that double portion. Even though he was discouraged, he kept on going. Even though people ridiculed him, he kept on going. Even though he saw places that were once holy, no longer were they holy, he kept on going. He didn't let the things of this world slow him down. And think about this too. You know, even though he had the determination for the power, and even though he was determined to go along with him, and even though he was identified with Elijah, and even though he prayed for that power, I want you to notice the last thing, and I'll close, and that is, that wasn't enough for him. He actually had to use that power. You see, you can pray for it, and you can talk about having the power of God until the cows come home. But until you get that power and actually use it, then you're not doing what the Lord wanted you to do. You see, he gave you his comfort. He gave you his power. And so he goes up, and he's going to come back one of these days. And we have a job to do. Now, we can talk about having the power of God, and we can pray for it even. We can be determined to get it. But until you actually use it, we're all wasting our time. Wouldn't you agree? That's the same thing with Elisha. He prayed for a double portion. He wanted a double portion. He received a double portion. What would have happened if he never used it? Well, he never would have come back out. He never would have crossed the Jordan. Amen? He'd have stayed on the other side, and that would have been it. But he didn't. He took that mantle, and he parted the waters, and he walked across. And then, if you continue to read your Bible, you'll find out that Elisha did twice as many miracles as Elijah did. He really did receive a double portion. Why? Because he prayed for it, and he was determined to have it, and no matter what, he was just going to keep on following the Lord. Amen. That's what you need to do for the power of God tonight. So again, I'll ask you, if you don't have the power of God upon you tonight, if you're not filled with the Holy Spirit of God, it's not God's fault. He already gave you everything you need. Well, if it's not God's fault, then whose fault is it? It's ours. And one of these days, we'll stand before judgment and answer what we did with the power that God gave us and the Holy Spirit God gave us. So tonight, if you're here tonight and you're saved, if you do not have the power of God upon you, I hope that you want it as bad as Elisha did. You should. All you have to do is ask and say, Lord, give me a double portion. Lord, give me your power. And I'll tell you something, folks, the Lord will answer your prayers. I'm living proof that the Lord will answer your prayers. The reason I'm able to preach to you tonight is not because of my power, it's because of the Lord's. You ask for it, he'll give it to you. But then when he gives it to you, use it. Use it. If that's you tonight, maybe you don't have the power, then ask God to give it to you. Maybe you're here tonight and you're not saved. You can never have the power of God until you're saved. Never. God's not going to give his power. The only people he's going to give his power to are his children. You got to be born again. Are you born again? Have you received Jesus Christ? Have you ever asked him to forgive you of your sins and believe that he died for your sins, was buried, and rose again the third day? Pretty simple. Have you done that? Let's stand.